ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. I am very excited because we are going to chat it up with folks about the Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic. It's something that's been going on. This will be the 26th year. It is the first weekend of May, May 4th and 5th, and we are thrilled to have in studio with us Dave Truax and Corey Waller, and we are going to learn more about this event. Can't wait to chat it up. How have you both been?
Real good.
Yep, really good.
So, Dave, you work in Hastings.
Yep.
Tell us more.
Work for the Parks Department. Kind of go from maintaining the parks or plowing snow. And
well, that's what I was going to ask you about. It's kind of been a weird year, right?
Yeah, very weird.
So, but my understanding is even though there has been no snow, you have still had to work.
Yep.
So you're playing catch up or something? What's
going on? Yeah, take care of a lot of stuff that needs to be addressed over the summer and rebuilding stuff and putzing from there.
Is this like the weirdest year you can remember?
For sure, yeah.
No kidding. Have you had more time to go fishing?
Maybe? Yeah, we were just down in Louisiana. I was down there for a week. It was an awesome trip.
Now that's real fishing, right?
Oh, yeah. Saltwater.
What's that like? Wow.
It was pretty cool. We did a tuna trip this year, and it was unbelievable. We went deep sea fishing out probably 30, 40 miles offshore, and it was an awesome time.
And you caught tuna?
Yep.
Is there more than one kind?
Yeah. Don't ask me to name them, but okay. I know we caught yellowfin, and our biggest one was 186 pounds.
What?
Yep. And then
that's a lot of salad, my friend.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah, we ended up catching 6 tuna, and I think our smallest was around 100 pounds, 120 pounds.
So you have little fillets then you make out of it, or
yep.
Big fillets? Or?
Oh, yeah, big fillets right now.
A tuna steak, what is that, that part of the tuna? Is and how many steaks can you make of like 100 and whatever?
Well, that's a very good question. There was 6 guys down there, and then by the time we split all the meat up, we all came home with probably 25 bags of tuna, freezer-packed bags, big tuna steaks, I don't know. We figure we probably got 400 pounds of meat off of them.
Wow. You that's know. Incredible. When I go to the store and buy tuna in the can, what is that? Is that like flaked steaks?
Yeah, I would have to think so. I don't even know for sure, to be honest with you.
Was that your first time catching tuna?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it was a blast.
Corey, how do you top that? How have you been?
I'm great. Yeah, things are really good. Busy at work. I manage a limestone quarry at the end of 316 here, just south of Hastings, called 316 Rock. And this year for us has been pretty unbelievable, you know, pretty much no winter this year. And none of the construction has really even slowed down. So
you've been really busy.
Yeah, we're a limestone producer, like class 5 gravel and everything up to big boulders and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. riprap and whatever. So, yeah, it's been quite the season so far. It barely even slowed down this winter, and we're having a pretty much gangbuster year so far.
You did not get to do ice fishing, though, I bet.
No, I'm not a big ice fisherman anyway, so I'm kind of all right with it.
Okay.
But,
and why don't you like ice fishing?
I just would rather be in the boat. My time is spent in the boat with a rod in my hand, chunking and winding. So that's my favorite right there.
Not sitting on a bucket that you flip upside down.
No. I must have a little attention deficit disorder or something. It gets a little boring for me staring down an ice hole.
Dave, do you like to ice fish?
I'll go a couple times a year, but I'm more like Corey. I like to spend time in the boat.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not an ice fisherman. I know that's a shock to you both, but I heard it was not a great year for ice fishing.
No.
Well, let's talk about this wonderful event that you have coming up. There's so many different facets of it. First of all, it's called the Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic. Who is or was Dick Hiley, please?
Dick Hiley was one of the founders of the tournament. He was a great individual, had quite the vision to have a bass fishing tournament that raises money for the kids at St. Jude. And unfortunately, he lost his battle with cancer. And so to honor him, we've made the St. Jude Bass Classic, the Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic, to honor all that he's done for the kids at St. Jude through the years and to continue his vision.
So this has been going on, this will be the 26th annual. Why did it start initially?
It was really just that. Dick wanted to just do something for basically fellow man, right? Like just find a good charity that has a great reputation, and St. Jude has one of the best reputations out there. You know, 97 cents of every dollar goes directly to research. They're not big into lining a bunch of bureaucrats' pockets and that kind of thing. And it's just one of those deals where, you know, trying to find a way to help save kids is a pretty darn noble cause. So that's where that started.
Did he have a personal tie to St. Jude?
You know, not that I know of. I've been on the committee now for 10 or 15 years, something like that. But I don't really know if he had a personal connection, but it was definitely his vision to save as many little kids as he could.
So let's talk about this event, please. It's going to be May 4th and 5th in Wabasha, and I just get such a kick out of hearing the strategies. And I learned a lot last year when you came in. I didn't know there was strategies to fishing. Dave, tell me more.
I don't know if we got quite dialed in yet, but it seems like we're chipping away at figuring something out. No, it seems like everyone's always doing something different, you know, I mean.
Are there some sneaky fishermen that you should tell our listeners about? Do they go down ahead of time and scope stuff out, or how does this all work?
Well, I think, you know, it's called pre-fishing, so that's not nothing sneaky. We all try
pre-fish?
We all try to pre-fish and get them figured out. There's a few guys that every year I think, God darn it, where the heck are them guys going? You know, they're got some secret little spot.
Well, how does this work? Explain for people like me that really have never been in a fishing tournament. The goal is to catch the biggest bass or the most?
The most weight.
Yes.
For six fish.
Okay. Per boat?
Per boat.
And how many people in a boat?
There's two people in a boat. And then so you got day one where you can catch six fish, and day two you can catch six fish, and your combined weight of those 12 fish at the end of day two determines the winner.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. It's kind of one of them things where, you know, you got to enjoy a little competitive nature because it's not always just a relaxing day fishing. And a lot of people, they think of fishing like you just get out and go relax, hang out in the boat, catch a few fish, and then just enjoy their day. So it's definitely not that. Tournament fishing or competitive fishing isn't really for everybody. You have to definitely enjoy the stress of really trying to figure it out. And, you know, in our case, our permit's for 100 boats. And typically we have right around that 70, 80 boats in our tournament every year.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's...
What is the geographic area that you're able to fish in?
So we can go from the dam in Red Wing.
Yep.
All the way down to the dam in Minnesota City. So Pool 4, which is Hastings to just below Wabasha.
Yes.
And then Pool 5 is from below Wabasha to the next dam. So it's a big chunk of real estate.
Okay.
Like if you ran the whole thing, it's got to be 60, 70 miles of river total that you could fish.
So do you all meet up somewhere in Wabasha and then you disperse from there?
Yep. So every morning we have all the boats go in the water in the marina in Wabasha. And then your takeoff position, day one, is based off your fundraising total. So if you raise the most amount of money, you get to take off first. If you raise the least amount of money, you get to take off 80th. And, you know, like I said,
that's fair, though. I mean, that's great.
And in normal competitive fishing, people, you just draw numbers out of a hat and that's your number randomly. But, you know, the hook for the fundraising side of it, you know, it pushes guys to raise that extra $50 or extra $100 or extra $1,000 or whatever to get their takeoff position higher.
So you take off at what time? Don't you usually start fishing?
7 in the morning.
Okay. And then you can go anywhere within that 60, 70 miles?
Correct.
Do you have to be back at a certain time?
Yep. So each flight, so we typically have 4 flights. So flight number 1 takes off at 7, flight number 2 takes off at 7:15, flight number 3 takes off at 7:30, and flight number 4 takes off at 7:45, and then it's staggered that way on the end. Flight number 1 has to be in at 3, then 3:15, then 3:30, then 3:45. So everybody gets equal amount of fishing time, but the higher you are in the flight, you get your choice of what you think is the best spot for the day. So
talk about last year. How was it?
Well, we got postponed because of the flood last year. Okay. So we actually had it in the fall, which is definitely a different dynamic for Dave and I.
Why is that?
It kind of turns it into a smallmouth tournament instead of a largemouth tournament.
Okay. And you're talking about bass.
Yep.
Not yes. About Dave.
Yeah. Well, he's a big mouth sometimes. But, you know, for us, we're, I would say, historically probably a little bit better largemouth fishermen.
Okay.
But,
why is that? I mean, I don't even know what that means.
They're just in different areas. It's
different
what you're
style
more comfortable. Yeah,
okay.
What you're more comfortable fishing.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know how we did it, but we weighed 2 day limits of smallmouth, and I don't know, we did all right. It was good for as tough of a practice as we had, which we did not find a lot of fish at all. I think we fished about 3 days and caught about 3 fish.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good.
And somehow we scratched together 2 limits, but
wow.
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend, that's for sure.
So do smallmouth weigh less than bigmouth? You would think they would, but do they?
Depends.
Depends on the time of the year. They're usually both fattening up pretty good in the fall. Okay. You know, they put the feed bag on, both largemouth and smallmouth, just because they're getting ready for winter. So historically, they're about in the springtime. It seems like the smallmouth are a little chunkier than the largemouth are, but I'll take a limit of largemouth any day.
Yep.
So that was last year. So this year, you mentioned the whole fundraising piece, and we have an opportunity to participate in that. Who wants to tell us about it, please?
I think you're a pretty smooth talker, Corey.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. So this year is our third annual Cancer-Free Kids Meat Raffle. It's going to be at Captain Jack's in Ellsworth, Wisconsin. And what we do is do a meat raffle. Everybody's heard of a meat raffle. And then we also do like a gun raffle, raffling off different firearms and that kind of thing. We do some silent auction stuff sometimes. And yeah, it's just a good time. We get a bunch of friends and family members and, you know, regulars at the bar that will come in. And obviously St. Jude is an incredible charity. And it's pretty hard to find somebody that won't donate to St. Jude. And that's because of their track record, mm-hmm. their exceptional charity, and it's for a great cause. And yeah, we do pretty good with it. It's a good time. It's April 13th this year. It starts at 3 o'clock at Captain Jack's. So anybody listening, hopefully we can see you there.
And can I get other tickets, though, from you? Don't you usually have other raffle tickets?
We do like the Sportsman's Raffle, and then we have a link on our Facebook that people share. We share whatever, and people can donate to, and it helps us raise money or whatever. It goes into like our own file for St. Jude.
And where can people find your Facebook page, please? I mean, obviously on Facebook, but what's it called?
David Truex.
David Truex and Corey Waller on Facebook. We're pretty original, you know. We try to definitely take it to the next level with our.
It sure seems as if,
yeah,
yes.
Originality. So we try hard.
I know, Corey, you have actually had the opportunity to go to St. Jude's, and it's
yes.
been very moving. And can you tell us those stories?
Yeah, I've been to the hospital in Memphis twice now. And both times were absolutely incredible. It is truly a life-changing experience. You know, you think you're going to go to this place where kids are fighting cancer, right? It's they're in the fight of their lives, literally. And you go, and it's so unbelievable. It's probably one of the happiest places I've ever been in my life. St. Jude is a hospital, but you walk into this place and it doesn't look like a hospital, doesn't smell like a hospital. People aren't dressed like it's a hospital. You have these bald-headed little kids running around. You know, they don't believe in wheelchairs, you know, something that would, you'd think you're at a hospital, there's wheelchairs. And they don't really believe in wheelchairs. I mean, they have them, but mom and dad will be pulling their little kid around in a little red wagon from appointment to appointment. Or they got these little trikes that the kids will pedal around on, and mom will be chasing them around with the little chemo tree behind them with all the IVs hooked up. And here they are ripping around through the halls. You know, you think, gosh darn it, you know. And of course, there are those sad stories of people that have their children there that don't make it. But, you know, if you look at some of the rates, you know, some of the cancers early in the 60s and the 70s were leukemia and that kind of thing were pretty much a death sentence. Now, childhood leukemia is 80 or 90% curable, and most of that is because of the work that's done at St. Jude. St. Jude shares all of their protocols with any hospital that'll ask. It doesn't matter what corner of the world you're from. If your child has a particular cancer that St. Jude has had some specialized treatments in that are more highly successful than some of these other ones, your child can go ahead, they can go right there, they can get that protocol at your own home hospital that would come from Memphis, Tennessee. It truly is something. I mean, I tell people this all the time, and it's hard to put into words, but it will absolutely change your life being at a hospital like this. And to know what David and I have raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $80,000 through the years. And for the tournament now, we've raised a little bit over $7 million. Last year was our first $1 million year where all 70 teams got together, combined funds, and we raised over $1 million last year. And it just seems like such a drop of the bucket, right? Like these families.
I think that's very impactful.
Well, but I mean, if you think of all these families that come into the hospital, and when they get there, what would you do, right? You'd sell your house, your car, you'd live in a refrigerator box, you'd do whatever you could to, if it guaranteed that your child was going to live. Well, here they take all those pressures off of you. You know, they give you a place to stay. They fly you down there. They pay for your travel. They pay for your food. They pay for all the treatment that's not covered underneath your insurance. They cover 100% of it. So it's not bankrupting a family to save your child's life. It's literally just saying, here, we're going to take this pressure off of you. You worry about taking care of your family, keeping your child happy, and let's cure him of cancer.
Mm. Well, and they couldn't do what they're doing without folks like you. So thank you so much. This is such a great event. And we have a chance on April 13th at 3 o'clock p.m. at Captain Jack's in Ellsworth to participate in a cancer-free kids meat raffle. And then you also have an ability to just donate directly to you.
Yep.
On your Facebook page. What's it called again, Dave?
David Truex.
And Corey Waller.
Oh, boy. Okay. So good to see you. What you're doing is so important. I hope you feel that.
Yeah, we do. You know, I'm kind of a firm believer that every epic adventure I've ever had in my whole entire life has included a certain amount of suffering, right? Like, if you think back, every truly epic adventure has included a certain amount of suffering. And sometimes the bigger adventures have had a significantly more amount of suffering. And I think these kids are already taking care of the suffering. So whatever we can do to help them get through that is just going to guarantee their epic adventure later in their life. And I just think it's such a great cause. I really believe that everybody out there should do something, step out of their box, do whatever they can. And maybe it's a different charity or whatever. I just think St. Jude's the best one out there. But, you know, we should all try to help fellow man the best that we can, you know.
Well said. Don't miss the Dick Hiley St. Jude Bass Classic. It's going to be May 4th and 5th in Wabasha. We do wish you both great success with that. And thanks for what you're doing. Our guests today, Dave Truex and Corey Waller. Do find them on Facebook. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light.